The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear ones, this morning we remember Paul and Martha Ann, Harry, Lisa, and the countless other saints whose names and faces are gone from this earth, but who live on in our hearts. Whether we knew the names that were spoken today personally or not, together we give thanks for all these members of our family, the one body of Christ. Through baptism, we have become part of this great cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints at every time and place. We don't have enough candles or a table large enough for the whole family, past and present. We don't have enough candles to show and to share the light that they brought to our lives and to the world. But God's table is large enough for everyone, past and present. In fact, there is a church teaching which tries to explain why in some older churches there would be an altar rail in front of the altar, and it would be sort of a half circle. The teaching and the tradition is that it's not a half circle at all that we gather around, but rather our departed loved ones are on the other side, the table that surrounds the backside of the altar, and so we are communing together with the whole communion of saints each time we come for the bread and the wine. Therefore, while we long for their presence with us here today, the church rejoices, and we sing, and we most certainly can and should tell the stories of our siblings, parents, grandparents, children, and faithful friends who are today sitting together at the banquet table with Jesus, enjoying a heavenly feast without end. Amen? Amen. Speaking of stories, it's true, isn't it, that when we do remember our loved ones, it can be tempting not only to honor them as part of the communion of saints, but to make them into icons. It can be tempting to sanitize our beloved ones' stories, to remember them not as the real people that we knew and loved, but as somehow symbols of perfect faith and holiness. And I think this happens especially with the passage of time. Contrary to popular belief, not all saints possessed extraordinary bravery, extraordinary courage, or extraordinary holiness. Not all saints were dragon slayers like St. George, patron saint of Palestine, or founders of homes for the poor like Mother Teresa, or martyred for the sake of justice like Archbishop Oscar Romero. The truth is, the saints we remember today were not perfect, but they were and they are perfectly loved by us and by God. A saint is simply one who has sought or who seeks today to live a life in response to God's extraordinary love, a love that we have come to know through the cross of Jesus Christ. You saints here in the pews today probably know that the saint does not make you perfect, right? But being a saint does make you different. Or as American Catholic author Flannery O'Connor wrote, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you odd." This is most certainly true. Being a follower of Jesus often makes you odd in the eyes of the world. Therefore, it's very appropriate that this year we hear a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which is a little odd. Now, the disciples and Jesus had been followed by a large crowd everywhere they went. But for these important teachings, Jesus pulled them, his most faithful, to the side. And when they were gathered around him, he sat next to them and said that this is what the path of a Christian looks like. This is what the path of my followers looks like. And what he said was odd. And so I want you to hear the Beatitudes again today. And this is from a modern interpretation I heard in Jerusalem. For context, the word mabruk in Arabic means congratulations. Mabruk to the poor in spirit. The empire of heaven belongs to them. Mabruk to those who grieve. They will be consoled. Mabruk to the gentle. They will inherit the earth. Mabruk to those who hunger and thirst for justice. They will have a feast. Mabruk to the merciful. They will receive mercy. Mabruk to those whose motives are pure. They will see God. Mabruk to those who work for peace. They will be called God's children. Mabruk to those who have suffered persecution for the sake of justice. The empire of heaven belongs to them. Mabruk to you when they denounce you and persecute you and spread malicious gossip about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. In heaven, you'll be more than rewarded. Remember, that is how they persecuted the prophets who preceded you. Now, can you imagine the faces of the disciples when they were hearing these teachings for the first time? Because everything Jesus said congratulations to goes against what the world counts as valuable. And yet Jesus said that these things deserve congratulations, that we are blessed if we experience poverty, grief, meekness, hunger, thirst, or persecution. Now, these are situations the disciples had likely already been experiencing by that point. They had already suffered much for their newfound faith. They had already lost friends, given up comforts, and suffered persecution because of the teacher they chose to follow. And Jesus looked right at them in love and said, "Congratulations, Mabruk, because this is the path of the prophets. And this is our path together. It will make you different. It will make you odd, but it also will make you free." Now, no one, not even prophets, are called to seek out pain or suffering or grief or persecution. God does not desire this for God's children. But when these things come, and they do come, we can remember that we are not alone, for we walk with the disciples and prophets who came before us, and we walk with God. Hear it once again, friends. God's dominion is a place of truth and love and abundance and mercy, justice, peace, and liberation. As believers, we are citizens of this kingdom. We refuse to be told that we belong to a kingdom of violence, retribution, greed, or apathy. Amen? Of course, living out this truth as citizens of God's dominion does make us odd, and it puts us at odds with what we see happening in the world today. Living and speaking the truth of love over hate will make us enemies, and it will often break our hearts, and it will challenge us and make us look deeply at ourselves and our culture. But doing so also joins us with all the saints, all those other odd folk who believed and followed and tried to live their best in response to God's great and ever-expanding love for the whole world. One of the odd folks I would like to remember today is one of our sisters in the faith named Margaret. Margaret was born to a pagan priest in Antioch, what we now call Syria, in the 3rd century after Jesus. Because her mother died shortly after childbirth, she was nursed and cared for by a Christian woman. And when she was old enough to go back to her father, Margaret told her father that she refused to pray to other gods because now she was a Christian. This angered her father, who tried several times to marry her off to respectable pagan men in the community. Each time, Margaret refused on the basis of her faith. The stories, the traditions, and tales of her abuse and torture are many, each one worse than the last. Nevertheless, she persisted. Margaret never abandoned her faith in the crucified God. Now, finally, the legend goes that Margaret was confronted by the devil himself, who had transformed himself into a huge dragon, and the dragon swallowed Margaret whole. But as soon as Margaret passed through the dragon's mouth and throat and into his stomach, the dragon got a terrible bellyache. It so happened that Margaret was carrying a wooden cross in her hand when she was swallowed. And that cross, the symbol of her great faith, irritated the stomach of the dragon. That cross poked and provoked and caused the devil such suffering that he spat Margaret back out whole. The paintings of Margaret show an even more dramatic scene, with her standing atop the dragon with his belly split wide open, the devil completely vanquished by the power of the cross, which she holds high in her hand. Now, just to say it once again, not all saints are dragon slayers, but by the power of the cross, by the power of God's love for us, we all do have capacity to irritate the powers and principalities that defy the gospel of love. We all have the ability to disrupt systems of oppression from the inside out as witnesses to the truth of God's love for the world. Now, I love the story of Margaret so much that I have an icon of her tattooed on my arm. True story. But whether Margaret's story is true or not, I believe that this tradition illustrates one way that we can live a life shaped by the Beatitudes. When we show mercy while others show contempt, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice as the world around us lusts for power, when we try and maintain a gentle heart in the wake of horrific violence, a heart soft enough to still be broken by the suffering of our neighbors, when we tell the truth about ourselves, the truth about the world, and the truth about God, even when it seems that a dragon might swallow us whole for doing so, then what we are doing is frustrating the powers that be and upsetting the status quo and challenging those unjust systems, and we can become holy interrupters, and we can give the devil a bellyache. On this All Saints Day, as I think most of us are seeking to find a way forward in the midst of so much tragedy around us, we remember all the odd ones, the truth tellers, the peacemakers, those holy interrupters, those who irritated the powers that be, who frustrated the work of the devil, and those who loved God and loved us to the end. For all these saints today, we can say, Mabruk, congratulations, well done, good and faithful servants. And dear ones, thank you, fellow saints, for living your truth, for willing to live the truth of God's love, even when it makes you odd. Today, as we gather, we recommit ourselves to following the way of Jesus, the way of love, the way of justice and liberation. We are strengthened by one another and by Jesus crucified and risen, who against all odds has granted us life abundant, a life of purpose, and life with God forever and ever, without end. Amen.